Hello everybody, Fat Buddies here, episode 12 already, 3 months in the making. I'm here with Jake Fat Trading. Stay tuned for a lot of nice and spicy topics like Kurt.
Oh, that's gonna be interesting today.
I don't know, man. I just said the name and I'm feeling a little bit scared of a ban incoming.
I think our servers just went down.
Yeah, Spotify just went down because of this word. Let's start slowly then. Shapeshifters Team 2 impacts now, and we've got, today we are recording on a Wednesday, so we've just got the Shapeshifters SBC guaranteed player, untradeable, priced at 200k. What yep. do you think about the team, and what do you think about the SBC, Jake?
Yeah, it's, the SBC is a little inflated. I actually just checked, it's at like 220k at least on PS4, which is okay. A sign, because right, you recognize the price is 200k, and in the meantime it's gone to 220k, so it means people are completing it. And I actually said this on Twitter, if you follow me, but EA could have priced this SBC however they want, because so many of the cards are valued above 200k or even 300k that's reasonable for them. On top of that, it's non-repeatable and it's untradeable. So I think users and most foot players have a mentality of, let me just try one. You know, like, if I lose, I lose, because it's only a one-off, right? So yeah. I literally think when you do a one-off untradeable, you have even more people, a higher percentage of people complete it. And I think the value is fair. It's expensive for sure, but because so many cards are worth more than that, it's the same value or even better value technically than even other SBCs they do that are repeatable. Like the base icon, right? How many base icons were above the price that you paid for that SBC? Not very many. But there's tons of shapeshifters that are above the 215k mark.
And one thing which I told you also before we started recording, and it's very interesting, is that you have the top FUT players like Messi, Ronaldo in the chance of packing them. You have Richarlison and Ribery, which are 5-star weak foot players.
Yep.
You have Kante. You have Mendy CDM card. You have David Luiz, which is a very popular card. Okay, the chances of packing that are very low.
Yeah.
But at least you get a chance. If we didn't get this SBC, people would want an SBC like that. Would pray for an SBC like this. So I think you're right. Maybe it depends on an SBC is expensive if you don't have the coins. But for people who have like 3 million or 4 million coins cash, doing a 200k SBC is nothing.
Yeah, and that's what these SBCs have always been based around. You look at Team of the Week SBCs, Once to Watch SBCs, Base Icon. People don't look at them and say like, oh, I'll put in 300k and get Ronaldo. Like, you can't realistically be expecting to be packing these top tier players. It's all it is a chance to gamble on it, and people do love that mentality. It's why FUT is so successful. So I think a super high percentage of users, I'd say like 50% of users are going to try this SBC. In terms of the team that you asked earlier, I think this team selection is awesome. You know, I wasn't a fan of this promotion. It felt a little bit forced to me, but I will say that the teams they've selected have been near perfect, I think, with what the community wants. You're getting some huge names in, like Ronaldo and Messi. You're getting Richarlison, who's not getting upgraded cards this year, and he's been liked in previous FIFAs. Same with Vinicius. Mendy got a CDM card, which is awfully fun, and pairs with Ramos, who we got this week. That was a nice combination from them. And then we got Alexander-Arnold, which people literally wanted that card. They did examples for it. I don't know if EA took that from the community, but people were really asking for it. The only ones that I really dislike from this team, and it's only one, is Kante, just because I feel like he's too short for a center back, so it would be more about an in-game switch. But I think the selection is great. What about you?
Yeah, personally, I did that Ramos right back SBC.
Oh, you did?
that's a very nice card. I mean, he doesn't really fit my team because I have a team of the year, Alexander-Arnold, untradeable.
Oh, yeah.
So I cannot place him there. But I felt that it's a once in a game chance of getting that nice of a card. Okay, I could have done it like 2 months from now because it doesn't have an expiry date. But I mean, if I don't play him now in 2 months, it's team of the year, team of the season, and it's no point of playing him then. So I'm trying to play him as a right back and move Trent as a CDM or play him as a CDM depending on how fast are my opponent midfielders. Regarding this team, exactly what you said, Kante, it's a no-go for me. I have a team of the year Kante tradable, and I wouldn't want an untradable Kante because, come on, he's very short.
Yep.
Maybe he's powerful, but yeah, I wouldn't want that. I wouldn't want even a Mendy card because I have the Fatmas left back Mendy, and he's very good. Probably I will play him for the entire game.
Yep.
What I like very much is Richarlison and Ribery, because they have that 5-star weak foot and they have also that very good nations, France and Brazil.
Yep.
Very easy to link. These are very nice players. Vinicius, I don't like him so much because he has a very low finishing.
Yep.
But that Atal League One card looks very, very nice.
Yeah, and it's crazy that Vinicius is holding value to me. You know, he's 445k right now, and he's got stats similar to like gold cards, like Rashford, and you know, cards that are worth just a few k. It's crazy. There's a lot of hype around him for sure.
You know what helps? That Hazard moments, no expiry date SBC, which a lot of people did.
Yeah, you're completely right about that for sure.
And it also helps that I don't know if so much, but for a little part, it helps that he scored that goal against Barcelona.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's true. And one thing I wanted to mention that you said that I think is really cool is that you basically acknowledged the fact that you knew Ramos was out for forever, right? There's no expiration, but you completed him fast. And you know, when we look at these moments SBCs, everyone's goal is to complete them, although you can grind them a bit, right? It's not like a 72-hour expiration or a week long. So you can grind them, but the idea is going to be to grind them as fast as possible, because the further you wait, the more cards come onto the game with similar statistics, right? I kind of think of that Sané. That Sané is a very good card, but now we're seeing some of these amazing cards and shapeshifters too. How long will you want to use him in your team? Same with Ramos. Maybe you'll want to sub him out at Team of the Season. So if you're slowly completing him over the next month or month and a half, well, then you're not going to end up using him all that long before you do some Team of the Season switches.
Personally, I also play a lot of Weekend League. Mm-hmm. So my thinking is the following. I want to have him in my team before I see him in all the other team's opponents. You know, that's important for me. I'm not a very good player. At least I have a team that helps me. Yep. And I take this advantage of having him in my team and not encounter him in my opponent's team.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense to me.
Yeah, no, a very nice shapeshifters team, a very nice gimmick from EA to release in this bad weather conditions. let's say it.
Mm-hmm.
It was a nice surprise. I know that we are preparing now for that Copa Libertadores content.
Mm-hmm.
And probably in the middle of March, like in 1-2 weeks, we will have a Fat birthday, which may be interesting. I believe that's like the last chance of EA doing some mid-icon SBC or something like that for us.
Yep.
What are you saying in terms of trading? Because, okay, we have the shapeshifters. Now we have also this SBC. How do you see their pricing?
How do I see the shapeshifters in terms of price?
Yeah. Like, is it still a good time for some players now? Or what do you think?
Yeah, so I'll actually kind of talk a little bit what happened today. I'm going to actually go back to Team 1 quick on my screen because it's a little bit more relevant. But basically, guys, Footwatch, which is a page you can follow on Twitter, finds codes and puts them out to the public. So we knew that we were going to get a Shapeshifters SBC. We didn't exactly know when, but we knew a Shapeshifters SBC was in fact coming. So what happened was a lot of people panicked. They essentially panic sold their Shapeshifters leading up to this moment because they thought they'd get packed. There's no disclosed information on if the SBC is going to be repeatable or tradable. I was under suspicion it was going to be just like the Refresh SBC, where it would be a one-off untradeable, which it did come that way. But I'm going to actually show you Atal on PS4, kind of what happened today, and you can see his price. Basically, he was panic sold pretty heavily before 6 p.m. UK, and now he's starting to rebound back up. So let's look at his price here. I'm going to go to the hourly for today. So really, to start the evening, he was all the way up above 500K in the early a.m. Then he started slowly dropping, and he went all the way down to 440K about flat on PS4. Right now, he's sitting at 470, but basically, people panic sold him with this SBC on the horizon. And you guys should know that with these one-off expensive SBCs, the chances of you packing the player untradeable that you're selling is so low, you shouldn't buy into that hype. So what we did was we bought a few of these players. Atal was one of them, and then Babu was the other, where they're pretty expensive. EA is not going to dish these guys out a lot. I really like Mbabu as well because he links with that Zakaria that a lot of people did. And I think Mbabu got panic sold to right around 355 or 360. I'll show you his hourly graph. He starts going way down from 410 all the way down to 360. And I saw him on the market at 360, so I know that's the case. And right now, he's all the way back up to 390 on PS. So they're starting to recover. These people doing the SBCs didn't pack him. And they're starting to buy him back. And with Weekend League rewards coming tomorrow, these players should go up even more. So that's a strategy you guys can look at going forward, is if they're going to keep doing these untradeable one-offs during promotions, you should look for panic selling that day of some of the top tier cards.
Yeah, it's, let's say it's some kind of a pattern. You never can trust EA in patterns, but let's say for the latest promos, they released this code, and Fatwatch account on Twitter showed it to us. And usually in the next day they released also the, or in the same day they released the SBC, the guaranteed promo pack SBC. And it happened as exactly as you said. And this is one thing to take into consideration starting from now, into if you want like a player in your team. You can wait until the promo ends, at least, or some kind, because maybe they release this guaranteed SBC and players go like, if a player is 500k, he may go like 100k lower at this announcement. So, that's very true. Personally, I bought an Atal player today after the release of the guaranteed SBC. I didn't have the coins to buy him earlier when he was a little bit cheaper, like maybe 20k cheaper. But I expect him to go higher in price because of his good league. A lot of players have Ben Yedder, player of the month, so it's easy to link, let's say, there. And he has that 5-star weak foot, which is, I don't know, guys, if you are not playing with a 5-star weak foot player in your team, try one to see the difference. I believe it's worth it to have that.
Yeah, it's definitely bigger than skills in this game. I don't really even think that's debatable. But how much you like it is kind of up to you. But you see a lot of pros play with the 5-star weak foot players as well.
Yeah, I for me, it's a big improvement. Even when it's, so it's not only about shooting, it's also about passing, and it may make the difference in front of the goal or in the penalty area to make another good pass there. And you've seen on Twitter a lot of videos of people making a pass with a player who has like a big passing stat, but getting that wrong. And this also would also help, let's say.
Agreed. I agree with that.
Going further, today EA released also the Team of the Week 25 impacts. I've wrote on Twitter that it's probably the cheapest team of the week in packs in FIFA 20. There is only one player above 100k, and that's Coutinho, but probably he will get to, I don't know, 80k tomorrow or something like that. Mm-hmm. And Carvajal also, he's an 87 rated right back, but 120 maybe he's even lower. I didn't refresh the page. Yeah, 120. And yeah, also Manolas, yep, is like, let's say 140. What do you say about this team, Jake? I'm not very happy about it.
What can I say about this team of the week? They need to include some kind of incentive at rewards for these kind of team of the weeks. Because if you played all weekend league and you really only have, you know, not many people, even though he's a decent card, are rocking Coutinho. You know, most people who play weekend league, I think, are going to have a better attacker option, sadly, than Coutinho even. Yeah. Carvajal, you know, Ramos is out now. Semedo headliner, Kappa headliner. There's too many good options for him to be of value. Manolas, yeah, is the only one that I think is decent that could maybe make your starting team if you're Serie A. But nonetheless, my point is your chance of even getting a player that's going to make your team is so marginal now that they need to find a way to juice these, because that's not fair that people that really purposely put in that extra time to try to get a player pick or to try to get extra incentives for playing all those games and all those hours. So I do think it's unfair to them.
Yeah, I want to say tell us a small story from this weekend.
Yeah,
I've got Gold One this weekend, at the stage of Gold Three, when I was 13 wins in and I was winning like the 14 win, I was like 4-3. Yeah, like the referee blew the whistle, the game ended. And I've seen this also at other accounts. It happens like a bug when you press X and you go next in the menus, you get a disconnect from the FAT servers and you get a loss. Mm-hmm. So even if I won the game and the game ended, I still got a loss. And I wanted to tell about this. I saw it also in a video in Krassi. If you watch, oh, Krassi, yeah, he's a nice face from the community. Let's say he always complains about the servers, which is true. But he also shows a lot of weekend league games. What it happened to him is that he scored the winning goal in extra time. The game ended. He thought he won. He got also a disconnect and he lost the game.
I saw that, and that was in like the 120th minute too. So, yeah, I remember seeing how frustrated he was. And one thing, yeah, I'll say about Krassi, and this could actually probably segue us too, is that he constructs his opinions in a helpful way. You know, he talks about how many servers there are in Europe, where they're, yeah, located. He does complain, but he does it constructively too. So I've seen that happen before too. I'm sorry that happened to you. And it's crazy that how, because the servers were horrible all week, and particularly the last few days have been bad. So people got tons of disconnect losses, and there's no way they're getting compensated for them.
Yeah, so if you are now playing the game in a way in which you want to enjoy it, there are three things which can happen to you which are bad. this example, which I've said now, which getting a win and still if you get a disconnect, I believe it's like it's a glitch, it's a bug. Mm-hmm. It's definitely not from my end or from player's end.
I don't think so.
Mm-hmm. Second thing, there is this no loss glitch where you can do it with the making a hotspot from your phone, and if it's like equal score, you can call on your phone and disconnect and you don't get a loss. And it's annoying for the player playing against you, because let's say you get a penalty against you and you do this and you don't get a loss, and that player doesn't get a win.
Yep.
And third thing which can happen, I've seen people scoring at penalty kicks, scoring a goal, and it doesn't count as a goal, it counts as a miss. So,
oh yeah, I saw that. Yeah. That was from a pro, right? That's what you're talking
exactly
about?
Exactly. Exactly. And before that, I've seen that on YouTube with other players, but they weren't so, let's say, so big, and yep. it wasn't like a big case. But there are three things, I mean, three reasons which when you can get a loss in a game and it's not your fault, and that's, I believe, a little bit too much for this stage of the game, for a game in which you pay money for, and yeah.
Yeah, they need to figure it out. You know, that's just the consistency that they make mistakes in and that the servers have issues is unlike anything I've ever experienced in all my gaming career yeah. at 26 years old. So it is embarrassing, and it's embarrassing that they make still, sadly, by far the best football game on the planet, so everyone's still playing it regardless of issues, and they'll continue to play it. It's just the truth. People can talk about all these quit FIFA things or playing PES, you know, PS for a little bit, but
yeah, no.
It's not going to stay that way. It's boring. I've played it. it's less enjoyable than FIFA, so no.
yeah, exactly. And if we are still at this, let's say, bad things from EA, we have these days a hot topic, which is Kurt being banned by EA on all platforms. They banned him. So Kurt is an ex-professional player which competed in EA's tournaments. He got banned by EA because he did some videos in which he said some bad things about EA. They banned him from tournaments, and now they banned his EA FUT founder, so like 10 years old account. Mm-hmm. He made another account, they banned that account also, and after that he was streaming, so they banned also his Twitch and YouTube videos, I believe. I'm not sure, but I believe that happened too.
I think so, yeah. We're probably not as in tune as the situation as many others are, but I think that's the case.
Yeah. So how do you see this whole situation, Jake? After that, I will also say my thoughts on that, but what do you think about it?
Yeah, so I'll probably just give like a small overview. I think that Kurt has brought up some great points about FIFA's issues over the years, even over a long duration of time. He spoke his mind, and you know, sometimes he did that in a very professional way, but in the last year he definitely did it in an aggressive way, and some of the ways he was, you know, performing on stream and things he was doing, he did deserve a ban from competitive play, I think, for sure. And I think kind of accidentally, you know, he kind of started this trend of calling EA rats and going after some of their employees. And I think that sometimes he does that as a little bit of a persona and kind of for fun for him. I think that's part of his...
For entertaining, let's put it like that.
That's part of his how he entertains people. But I think that because the audience is a little bit younger, I think a lot of like literally like 12 to 16 year olds picked up on that, and they love doing it. Like, I've seen comments from accounts that are like basically like Kurt cult followers, where they only comment on his stuff. They only created the account, they'll go hate on EA. So it's probably one of their mini accounts that has been banned. It's a pretty stupid approach. It's pretty negative. And now it's getting to the point of being pretty toxic, because if you're a content creator, and I'm speaking much larger than people like ourselves, like I've seen it on AA9, I've seen it with the Penthes, I've seen it with JackPie. If you're not actively outspoken pro Kurt, people will hate on you and they'll attack you and they'll be really aggressive against you. So it's kind of created like a toxic environment for the community, because if you're not talking about it, no matter what your opinion is, it seems like you're wrong. And the only thing I'll say on EA's, on Kurt's behalf, because I'm fairly impartial to some of it, like I'm just kind of taking it as it is, I think EA has gone a little bit too far on the other end and they're not making their thoughts known. I basically read the letter where they banned him, and it sounded like they were taking away his old FUT founder account with thousands of dollars put in, which is a big punishment. But to me, it didn't say that we're not going to allow you to play our game. So it's kind of tough to determine why they banned him just recently. I know that unfortunately, it's probably due to some of those, you know, younger kids in his community and the toxicity it created, because I think that what happened for the ban was death threats were being read out loud via donations. So I mean, I'm sure it doesn't take anything more than that to be able to ban you if you really seek it out. So unfortunately, probably people who are donating got him banned this most recent time. So I guess we'll see if he can keep it as clean as possible, see if they still go after him or not.
Yeah, what I want to, I'm kind of agreeing with you on what you've said. What I want to add is the following. First thing is that all this is EA's fault. I mean, if a content creator of or a pro player is negative about the game or about things in the game, is because EA let him have that opinion, because there are a lot of issues with the game. How a player expresses that negativity, it's his fault. But you wouldn't have all these complaints if EA would have communicated better with us about all the wrongs or the bugs in the game. And let's be true to ourselves that they tried to do it, like with some, let's say, community managers and stuff like this, but they are not at the level of, let's say, customer satisfaction that we would want or we would need as people who pay for this service. And I would say so this exactly. It's EA's fault. They should communicate it better with us. I mean, if the game if they would acknowledge a lot of things in the game, like all these bugs, all these servers problems, all these disconnects and stuff like this, and EA and Kurt would have still done his streams the way he's done it, probably the community or FIFA players wouldn't have a problem with EA and wouldn't go so aggressive against them. But because there is this, let's say, silence between EA communication channels and us, they didn't let any other way on going further. So that's why, let's say, Kurt's community is so aggressive. And at some point, I can understand them, not at that level with death threats and stuff like that. But online, let's say, there are people and people, and we shouldn't like judge the full community on some, let's say, bad apples in the community. When he was banned, I don't know the full story, but I know the fact that he was doing a video where or a stream where he was spitting on EA's logo on a scarf. And come on, if I was the owner or the producer of the game, I would ban you also. So that's not, I mean, you want to compete in my tournaments, but you spit on my logo. That's not something which is very fair. How they proceeded later with all this, let's say, of course, he put a lot of money in his account because pro players need to put money in those accounts. That's a little bit too much. And what we are doing now with, let's say, banning his streams and stuff like this, I think it's a little bit out of hand for them. I would prefer them to be focused on doing the game better and the servers better than putting all that energy in this process of banning him, because I would expect that they would need a lot of let's say agreements in the company to do that, and a lot of processes to be made and a lot of people to be involved. It's not just one person deciding that. So yeah, I would prefer them being focused on the game, but it looks like it's that's more important for them than how good this game is for the average players.
I fully agree with that. I think they're, using him as an example now. I think that both parties have been on an extreme. I mean, I don't think anyone has come out as aggressively towards EA as he did. And then I think that now EA is basically saying, like, you can't do this. We told you can do this, and now we'll do everything in our power to stop you. I think that's just kind of the situation because they clearly have people, eyeing him pretty much as much as possible, it seems like, which is definitely a lot of energy and resources. So I think they're just trying to use an example out of him, maybe scare some people into being not being like that, and just using him as a martyr a little bit. So that's not fair to him, but And their message should have said, you can't play our game anymore. You know, they should have outlined that if that's the case. But like we said, it's kind of hard to know, because who knows if his stream got taken down yesterday for a death threat or just because EA don't want him on their game.
Yeah, and I will, as always, I say this, that the truth is always at the middle, in the middle.
Yep.
So probably we there are some things which EA knows which we don't know. There are some things which Kurt knows or happened to him, which we don't know for sure.
Yep.
So yeah, I hope, as I told you guys, I hope that EA focuses more on doing the game better than on getting press releases about about banned players on Twitter.
I agree.
Going next into our podcast, Jake, we've accustomed listeners and viewers with marquee matchups.
Mm-hmm.
Probably at this time when you guys are watching or listening, it's like a couple of hours until marquee matchups get released. What do you have for us today?
Sure, I'll take a quick peek. So it looks like my most two promising games are going to be Man City versus Manchester United.
Yeah.
If you can get Man United golds under 800 and then Man City golds under like 1.3, 1.4K, that would be awesome. This is a situation where, to be honest, if you see a specific set of requirements, you'll see them rise a lot. If you specifically see the requirement where they ask for one player from each team, Man City golds will rise a lot because they have very few options. In fact, I can even pull it up here. I haven't done this on our podcast, so I think it should help them. Basically, what you'll see is that they have very, very few players below that threshold. So basically, everyone will use the same few players until it brings them up to the other card's prices. So yeah. I'm going to go to all the gold here. I'm going to show you guys the cheapest Manchester City players. And then it will give you perspective on how much room they have to rise. So I'm just going to sort it here by cheapest. And as you see right now, the cheapest golds for Man City are 1.7k, which is quite high. So at RewardSmart, you can aim to pick some up. But basically what I'm seeing here is that there's four cards under 3k right now. So I'd be under the impression that these four cards would rise to around 3k minimally if it asked for one from each of them, because no one's going to use any of these cards that are above 5k. So it just leaves you a select few options, so everyone's going to use the same cards to complete them. Again, EA is in total control of what they require, but that's one where you could see a pretty good rise. Game 2, I have Dortmund versus Gladbach with a pretty high chance as well. Dortmund gold's under a K, and Gladbach under 550 is a nice, safe look. And then... my last one, I have OSG Nice versus Monaco. That chance is a little bit less because there's a lot of big lower league games this week, so you never know how many they'll include. But you can get either of those golds under 600, so it's super duper low risk.
If those are very good options, Jake. Mm-hmm. I was making a small smile on the camera when you said OGC Nice.
Uh-huh.
Because it's Nice.
I'm gonna get crucified again.
For the European people watching, bear with Jake, guys.
I read it in my American language. It's spelled like Nice.
Nice is a very nice city on the...
There it is.
On the Côte d'Azur in France.
Exactly.
So on the Mediterranean Sea. It's very nice. So guys, bear with us. Yeah. It's a very nice Nice.
There we go.
Yeah. No, very good options there. Did you say Slavia Praga with Sparta Praga?
I didn't. No. And that's one of those, because the lower league games are always so hard to select, but I know that's a candidate. So I think that's a good shot too.
Yeah. So guys, if you want to do the marquee matchups, just buy also a couple of one or two players from each of these teams.
Yep.
But they are, let's say, kind of hard to guess. If you're up at 6 p.m. UK and you see these, let's say, lower league games, just go fast on the transfer market and buy the cheapest players and you'll be fine. Yep. They don't get very expensive so fast. You still have like 3 or 4 minutes to buy them.
Yep.
Exactly. And I believe that we are, let's say, close to the end of the podcast. I just have one last question for you, sure. Jake. What's happening next in EA's content?
Yeah, it looks like this is the week where they really tried to increase fodder. So after all this time of letting fodder kind of die off and kind of decrease in price to the point that we haven't seen pretty much all year, like 84s guys went like really like 2K or less on some cards, which is insanely low. Now they're bringing it all up through a variety of SBCs with this newest Trezeguet, which we're not going to talk about him because don't do that card. But Ramos, you had Ramos come out, you had Rooney come out, you had Zakaria come out. So some really fun SBCs. You also had McKay Stevens. You're getting them a ton on top of this shapeshifters, non-repeatable. So they really lifted the market up to a stable place for fodders, which is great because I know a lot of you guys were invested. Some of us were invested as well. And we were happy to see that. So now it looks like they're going to have a Copa Libra Tadores promo, which is should be exciting. There's going to be a ton of new leagues added in FIFA. And I think it could bring a lot to the grinding type of players if they make it right. I think they should do some objective players from it for sure, since they'll be all new in foot. I think they should do some league SBCs because so many new leagues will now be added in. People like those cards. They like grinding that kind of content. So I'm hoping to see that, and we'll get new icons as well. It sounds like Riquelme is in. It sounds like we'll get a Cafu. I'm hoping for an Adriano, possibly. That would be pretty exciting. I used to love his card in FIFA. So, yeah, I think that's the next big thing, and I hope they do it well. And I hope it's more of a kind of like catered toward the grind of players, because now that we've had enough promos, we kind of need a break from that, in my opinion.
Yeah, I kind of agree with what you said. I was just selling my fathers this evening when the guaranteed SBC came out. Mm-hmm. So I would expect them to release even bigger content because I've done that. Murphy 101 lesson.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, let's wait and see. Yeah, and for this episode, I think we are okay with what we've shared with you guys. You can listen us on Spotify, Google, and Apple Podcasts. You can watch us on YouTube. Thank you for watching. Leave the comments on YouTube if you have questions, or on Twitter. You can find us there. Ask Florian or Jake for trading. Until next time, guys, stay safe and enjoy life.
Bye, guys. Thanks for watching.